I read the scripture this morning. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, we're in church, and we're Christian folk here for the most part, and so this is probably something we nod our head at and go, yeah, we know. We are supposed to put the most value in the godly things and really not count the things of this earth as all that important. But it's really, really hard to do. I mean, all that stuff of this earth has just such incredible advertising campaigns. I mean, they've got promoters that advertise to us all the time how much we need this stuff. I mean, just think of a toothpaste commercial alone. The promises that if you use their toothpaste, you will have glistening white teeth, extraordinarily fresh breath, gorgeous hair, a Ferrari, and, you know, six lovely people of the opposite sex just hanging all over you just for using their toothpaste. We've got such great promoters of worldly goods out there that tell us how important it is that we have a really nice house, a really great job, a good car. You know, not just one that runs, but one when they drive by, they go, wow, good car. You know, nice car. So, I don't know about you, but this scripture's a little hard for me to hear. It kind of walks on some toes I like to pretend don't need walked on and are just fine. And when I look at it, it just doesn't seem quite realistic. I mean, here are the intangible things of God, and you're trying to compare them to the very tangible things that seem to be what makes my life run. A roof over my head, a car to get to work, a job that gives me some money so that I can buy the things I need, like food. You know, there are some, you know, non-essentials in my life, I realize, but there are also some very essential things. And I sometimes read this and think, you know, God, it's just not fair. You're asking me and everybody else that's a Christian to settle for less. To settle for less than what this world has to offer. What happened to you being a God of abundance? And I guess it starts to lay on the guilt trip. So I want to share with you a story this morning. This story, I did not write it. I'm not even the one that found it. Another pastor did and shared it with us at Leesburg. And it was in such an incredible story, appeared in a magazine a long time ago, that it really touched my heart and gave me a lot of good laughs. So feel permission to laugh and hope that you enjoy this story. It appeared in a magazine, and it was written by a pastor when he was between jobs. He writes, after winding up a final interview with a suburban church, I barely had time to exchange my suit for a comfortable pair of blue jeans before boarding the plane home. I arrived at the airport just as the last call was given to board the plane. I settled into the last unoccupied seat and looked at the person sitting next to me. He was about my age. His appearance proclaimed him a businessman, conservative blue suit, tan attaché case, Wall Street Journal. Of course, there I was, in faded blue jeans, tattered off-white t-shirt, abused attaché case, and tennis shoes. I wished I had waited until later to change. So I quietly made a resolution. Look straight ahead, hide in a book. Above all, do not get involved in a conversation about jobs. Because, obviously, he had a good one, and I had none yet. He had an income, and I didn't. stay out of conversation. But all that changed because he had already turned and greeted me. I said I was fine, of course. Realizing that I now had to beat him to the punch, I asked him what he did for a living. Oh, he was only too eager to respond. "I'm in the figure salon business," he said. "We can change a woman's self-concept by changing her body. It's a very powerful and profound thing." His pride spoke between the lines. "You look my age," I said. "Have you been at this long?" "Oh, I just graduated from the University of Michigan School of Business Administration. They have given me a lot of responsibility. I feel honored. And I hope to eventually manage the western part of the operation." "Oh, so you're a national organization," I said, impressed despite myself. "Oh, yes, we are the fastest growing company of our kind. It is really a good thing to be a part of an organization like that, don't you think?" I nodded approvingly and thought, impressive. Proud of his works and accomplishments. Why can't Christians be proud like that? Why are we so often apologetic about our faith? Looking askance at my clothing, he asked the inevitable question. "And what do you do?" Then the writer writes, "The spirit began to brood over the deep, and a voice in a whisper reminded me, 'Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.'" "It is interesting that we have similar business interests," I said. "You're in the body-changing business, I'm in the personality-changing business." "We apply basic theocratic principles to accomplish indigenous personality modification." He was hooked, but I knew he would never admit it. "You know, I've heard about that," he said. "Yeah, right." "Do you have an office here in this city?" "Oh, yes, we have many offices. We have offices up and down the state. In fact, we're national. We have at least one office in every state in the Union, including Alaska and Hawaii." He had this puzzled look on his face. He was searching his mind to identify this company he must have heard about somewhere or read about somewhere, perhaps the Wall Street Journal. "As a matter of fact," I went on, "we have gone national. International. We have gone international. And management has a plan to put at least one office in every country of the world by the end of this business era." I love that. I paused. "Do you have that in your organization?" "Not yet." "But you mentioned management. How do they make it work?" "Oh, it's a family concern. There's a father and a son, and they run everything." "It must take a lot of capital," he asked skeptically. "You mean money?" "Yeah, I suppose so. No one knows just how much it takes. We never worry about it because there's never a shortage. The boss always seems to have enough. He's a very creative guy. And money, well, it's just there. In fact, those of us in the organization have a saying about our boss. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. "Oh, he's into ranching too," my friend said. "No, it's just a saying we use to talk about his wealth." My friend sat back in his seat, musing over the conversation. "What about with you?" he asked. "The employees?" "Oh, there's something to see," I said. "They have a spirit that pervades the organization. It works like this. The Father and the Son love each other so much, their love filters down through the organization, so that we all feel ourselves loving one another too. It may sound old-fashioned in a world like ours, but I know people in this organization who are willing to die for me. Do you have that in your organization? I was almost shouting now. People were noticeably shifting in their seats. Not yet. Quickly changing strategies. But do you have good benefits? Oh, they are substantial, I countered. I have complete life insurance, fire insurance, all the basics. You might not believe this, but it's true. I have holdings in a mansion being built for me right now for my retirement. Do you have that in your business? Not yet, he answered wistfully. The light was beginning to dawn. You know, only one thing bothers me about all you're saying. I've read all the journals. If your business is all that you say it is, why haven't I heard about it before now? You know, there really isn't any comparison to the treasures in God and the treasures on this earth. There really just isn't any comparison, because the treasures in God are so much more magnificent. It is not that Jesus in this is saying, you know, you need to just settle for less. Jesus is saying, why settle for this crap? Excuse my French. I mean, it's just going to end up in the dumpster when you can have eternal life. When you can have salvation, when you can have belonging, companionship, community, love, forgiveness. When you can have all of those things we're really looking for and all of those things we're buying. You know, the really neat thing about the treasures in God is they are so much different than the treasures of this world. How do you store up treasures of this world? You know, you kind of go out and you collect them up and you hoard them all in and you bring them home and you pile them up and you've got your treasures. You know? And if you share them, what happens? You know, if you share your toothpaste, you have, you know, it's going to run out faster. If you share your car, it's going to wear out faster. But the neat thing about the treasures in heaven and the treasures we have in Christ is they never run out. They never wear out. There's always enough. In fact, treasures like belonging and community and love and forgiveness really only work if you give them away. Isn't it neat that the way you store up treasures is you just keep giving stuff away? That's kind of fun. That's kind of a neat perspective for me. You know, reading through this, and the first time I heard it, it was just so neat to realize that we have such a special privilege in Christ, that we have such a special privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God, the neatest, most wonderful, most incredible organization there is. And it's not just for pastors. I mean, pastors are not the only ones that work for God. We're not the only one on God's payroll or on God's ministry list. The reality is, every single one of you in your baptism in Jesus Christ has been made a part of the kingdom, and you're on God's payroll. If you read the end of Ephesians, it talks about how no matter what you do or you know, if you're a wife, if you're a child, if you're a husband, if you're a master, if you're a slave, you really are working for God. Some people say the most modern equivalent of the word Lord is really boss. And that when we say Jesus is our Lord, we're saying Jesus is our boss. So wherever we're showing up for work, whether it's at home or at FSU or at the prosecutor's office or in our classrooms, wherever we are showing up for work, who we're really working for is God. We're just out on assignment, using the gifts and graces that God has given us to make this world a better place. Math skills, first aid skills, computer skills, housekeeping skills. Wish I had some. You know, anybody want to use their housekeeping skills at my house? Wherever we are working for God. And these are the treasures that are being added to our life. The story ends with a big question. If this company, this kingdom of God, is everything that we claim it is, why hasn't this guy heard about it before? And why, even as Christians, are we sometimes kind of apologetic? Maybe we just don't have good advertising agencies or good promoters. Maybe we've just bought into so much of what the world has to say. Maybe that's our job, to spread the word. We're heading towards talking about stewardship on Consecration Sunday. And I thought today, as kind of an entering into that, that it would be a good day to remember just how much we've been given to be stewards of. It's incredible that God entrusts us with all of this stuff and all of these treasures. The question becomes, what are we going to do with them? What does it mean to have Jesus be our boss? And what does it mean to store up these heavenly treasures? Are we going to keep them to ourselves and walk around secretly being blessed? Or are we going to spread them around? Share the love. Share the forgiveness. Let other people know there's a place they can belong and have that sense of fulfillment. Let other people be a part of something fulfilling. Because there's one more thing that's really cool about God's kingdom, God's organization that we're a part of. Unlike other great companies and great organizations out there, we'll often say, you know, I'm just sorry, we're just not hiring right now. Love to have you. We'll keep your resume on hand if anything happens to come up. No, you're just not who we're looking for. There's always room in God's kingdom. God is always hiring. And God is always there saying, you are just what we needed. Come just as you are. You won't believe what I'll be able to do with your gifts and graces.